Radio Prague News.
Former Prague Mayor Pavel Bem has suspended his membership in the Civic Democratic Party in the wake of a lobbying and wiretapping scandal. The committee investigating the leaked wiretaps adjourned after its chairman objected to one of its members, a former employee of ABL. And police president Petro Lessi has called on the Prague police chief to take personal responsibility for mistakes made in the detention of Roman Janoszek. Former Prague mayor and MP Pavel Bem has temporarily suspended his membership in the Civic Democratic Party in the wake of a lobbying scandal. Mr. Bem said he believes the case will be duly investigated within some 6 months and that he will be cleared of any wrongdoing. Police are investigating recordings of telephone conversations between Mr. Bem and construction tycoon Roman Janoszek that suggest that the latter had excessive influence on city governance as a lobbyist. The party leadership called on Bem to suspend his party membership on Monday or risk being expelled. Party chairman and Prime Minister Petr Nečas recommended he also resign from parliament. The transcripts are being published by the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, which claims they were made by the Czech intelligence agency BIS in 2007 and were acquired by the detective agency ABL some 2 years later. The parliamentary committee investigating whether the wiretaps were leaked from the Security Information Service to the detective agency ABL adjourned 10 minutes after 10 minutes on Tuesday after its chairman objected to one of its members. Committee chairman Richard Dolejš, a member of the opposition Social Democratic Party, told reporters afterwards that he had asked the prime minister to replace public affairs member David Kadner, who was formerly an employee of ABL, or at least bar his presence from discussions regarding the leak from BIS to ABL. Mr. Kadner himself refused to quit the committee, denying any conflict of interest and calling the move unconstitutional and undemocratic. In related news, Police President Petr Lessi has called on the head of the Prague Police Department, Martin Vondrášek, to take personal responsibility for mistakes made in the detention of Roman Janoszek on Friday. The lobbyist is suspected of having run down a woman after denting her car while intoxicated and then avoiding the police just days after the wiretapping scandal broke. Mr. Lessi said that Janoszek should have been detained on the spot and the state attorney informed he should not have been allowed to use his telephone and should not have been released after making a statement but placed in a cell, if for no other reason than that he may have tried to escape again or influence a witness. Lessi said the officer's mistakes had threatened the entire course of the criminal proceedings. Janoszek was charged with grievous bodily harm under the influence of an addictive substance. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly sunny, with daytime highs reaching 20 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program: the embattled former Prague mayor Pavel Bem suspends his membership within the Civic Democratic Party in the wake of an ongoing scandal. Also learn about a new coin by the Czech Mint commemorating the late president Václav Havel. We'll also have Czech history about a former mayor of Chicago. That's all ahead. Former Prague mayor Pavel Bem of the Civic Democratic Party, an MP in Parliament, has heeded calls from fellow members to suspend his party membership. In a written statement issued on Monday evening, Mr. Bem confirmed he would take the step in the wake of the ongoing lobbying scandal that has raised serious questions about his tenure. Recently leaked wiretaps of conversations the former mayor had with controversial lobbyist and construction tycoon Roman Janoszek suggest that in 2007 something was not quite right, to put it mildly, at City Hall, with Mr. Janoszek apparently wielding considerable behind-the-scenes power. Although only a few snippets of the tapes reportedly secured by the country's intelligence agency BIS have been released, fellow Civic Democrats, including the Prime Minister, but also Bem's successor, Bohuslav Svoboda, pushed strongly for Mr. Bem to put party membership on hold until more is known. On Monday, Mr. Svoboda said this.
I think that it was the only viable step to take, and I'm very glad that Mr. Bem heard my appeal. A politician on whom doubt has been cast has to defend himself and can't bring the party for which he was elected into it. This is a fundamental principle for me.
Critics, though, have charged that without the highly unexpected release of secret recordings and their publication in Mladá Fronta Dnes last week, the party would be doing nothing at all. The argument goes that there must have been some among the Civic Democrats who knew what had gone on in the past but took no steps. Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda disagrees, drawing a contrast in no uncertain terms between former City Hall and his.
I have to remind you that for a year and a half there has been no influence by any Janoušek or any other lobbyist. When I became mayor, we replaced five people at City Hall. There are no people there from the Civic Democrats who were there before, and we cancelled bad tenders and are dealing with other problems. You may not hear about them, but these are the steps we have taken, steps I pledged to handle and have stuck with despite problems they entail.
For his part, Pavel Bem is adamant that he has done nothing wrong and maintained the accusations are preposterous. The matter is now being investigated by the police, and the former mayor expressed the conviction that within 6 months his name would be cleared as a more complete picture emerges. And if you'd like to comment, and you've been following the situation with Mr. Bem and Roman Janoušek, don't forget you can write to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz. The Czech Mint has just issued a special commemorative medal in honor of the late President Václav Havel, who passed away last December. The medal, available in gold and silver, depicts Mr. Havel, who for many was a national hero, with a smile on his face. Sara Borůvka has the story.
A total of 3,700 commemorative medals featuring one of the most beloved figures in recent Czech history, the late President Václav Havel, have just been minted. After the death of Mr. Havel last December, the Czech Mint was approached by many of his admirers who were hoping that the Mint could do something to honor his memory. Its director, Radek Šulta, explains how the idea came about.
This medal was a reaction to the massive public interest after the death of Mr. Havel last December. We received a number of queries as to how we as the Czech Mint could honor the memory of the late president. We decided to do what we do best and issued a commemorative medal. We worked together with the Vize 97 Foundation, which was founded by Václav and Dagmar Havel.
Of every medal sold, the silver version retails at 2,000 Czech crowns, while the gold goes for 25,000. A total of 400 Czech crowns will be donated to the Vize 97 Foundation. The gold version has already sold out just a few days after it went on pre-order. What other Czech figures have been honored with such a limited edition medal? Radek Šulta again.
We issue 50 to 60 such medals every year. They feature historic figures like Charles IV, Wenceslas, King of the Romans, or George of Poděbrady, but also figures from more recent Czech history, for example, the composer Bedřich Smetana, or inventors like Jan Jesenius, and so on. So there are a lot of different medals, but the only presidents to have their own medals are Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk and Václav Havel.
In the Czech Republic as well as internationally, a number of tributes have been paid to the beloved first post-revolution president in the months after his death. A primary school in Poděbrady, where he studied, has been renamed after Mr. Havel, and a new library in Paris will also carry his name. Just last week, the lower house of parliament approved the renaming of Prague's Ruzyně Airport to Prague Airport Václav Havel. Radek Šulta believes that there is no question Mr. Havel's memory should live on.
I think it is not necessary to discuss whether or not he should be commemorated because as a poet, dissident and president, he was one of the most important figures in our country's recent history. On the medal, we have decided to portray him as a person, not as an official, so on it he is smiling and wearing his regular clothes. We wanted to depict him as the man who was with us for 75 years and who we valued very much.
For those interested in purchasing a medal, the silver version of the medal can still be pre-ordered through March 29th on the Czech Mint's website.
Okay, Sara Borůvka reporting there on the new commemorative coin that was released, and it honors the late Czech President Václav Havel. That brings us just about to our main feature for this day, but just a quick reminder that you'll find all our stories and longer reports at our website, radio.cz. So be sure to look us up on the internet, where you can also take part in discussion on Facebook as well as tweet on Twitter. So if you're inclined to do that, please do. We're always happy to hear from our listeners and readers. Now, though, for today's feature, Czech history, this time with Rosie Johnston.
You might not recognize the name straight away, but Antonín Josef Čermák, a miner's son from Kladno, central Bohemia, is one of the most famous Czech Americans to have ever lived. Anton, or Tony Čermák, became mayor of Chicago at the height of Prohibition, overhauled Democratic Party politics in the city, and was then assassinated in the most mysterious of surroundings. All quite dramatic for someone who started his career selling firewood. Josef Opatrný teaches American history at Prague's Charles University. A specialist in the period, he says that Čermák belonged to one of the first big waves of Czech immigration to the States.
Anton Čermák arrived in the United States in the 1870s, this time following on shortly after the American Civil War had a great significance for European emigration to the United States.
During this period, thousands of Czechs emigrated to America, lured by the promise of land. Abraham Lincoln's government was offering 160 acres of the Midwest's finest turf to settlers from Europe as part of the government's Homestead Act. But there were other reasons for urban Czechs like Čermák's father to emigrate, as Josef Opatrný explains.
At the end of the 1860s, a wave of Czech intellectuals, such as the famous poet Václav Sládek, went to the United States. Václav Sládek came back after a short time, but with lots of information about the excellent conditions there, both in terms of the political freedom and the economic opportunities to be had. And these conditions weren't just there for farmers. They were in place for anyone who was willing to work. Industrial labourers and miners and so on could benefit as well. And Anton Čermák's father was a miner from Kladno, who said to himself, armed with just this information, that he would take his family with him and start a new life abroad.
Čermák and his family moved to Braidwood, Illinois, where young Anton went to school for 3 years before joining his father down the mines. When he was old enough, Tony moved to Chicago to make his fortune in the big city. But what was the Chicago of the time like? Again, here's Josef Opatrný.
Chicago was becoming an important industrial centre and an important centre for the processing of agricultural products in particular. And at this time, the symbol of Chicago, one of the city's biggest businesses, were its slaughterhouses. So Chicago was processing tons of meat and requiring a massive labour force to do so. And this is what originally brought young Čermák to Chicago. He really took like a duck to water in the cosmopolitan city atmosphere, and he quickly realized that the differences between the numerous ethnic groups living there could prove to be politically important. He started to get involved in the Democratic Party.
Cermak's political star rose fast.
In the 1900s, he first became a member of the Illinois State Legislature and quickly advanced through its ranks. His political career peaked in 1931. It really was enormous, his achievement. He became one of the most important American Czechs ever. His career peaked when he was voted mayor of Chicago. And it's interesting to remember that all this was at a time when Chicago was being hailed as the second biggest Czech city in the world, because in the 1920s and 1930s, statistics tell us that more than 100,000 Czechs were living there.
According to Dr. Opatrný, while Czechs and Germans, say, living beside each other in Europe, would not necessarily get on with each other at that time, these national tensions vanished upon arrival in America.
Cermak was, I think, a very able politician indeed, and he certainly used this to his advantage. And I'll tell you another thing he really used in his favour in the run-up to the municipal elections of 1931. He used the fact that in America at this time, prohibition was still in place.
Cermak is said to have overhauled Democratic Party politics in Chicago. He wooed some key black politicians away from the Republican Party and over to the Democrat side. As the only foreign-born mayor that Chicago has ever had, he won over and united the city's different immigrant communities. Since Cermak's predecessor, William Thompson, Chicago has never had another Republican mayor. Cermak also waged a war on prohibition, or more specifically the gangsters such as Al Capone who were thriving on the black market that prohibition brought about. Cermak battled to scrap prohibition altogether, which made him some powerful enemies. In 1933, Cermak was shot, but no one's completely sure whether this was an assassination attempt upon him or President-elect Franklin D. Roosevelt, who he was shaking hands with at the time. Cermak died from his wounds some weeks later, and his assassin, Giuseppe Zangara, was executed. But what's Dr. Opatrný's take on it all?
I think that it was most likely an attack on Mayor Cermak. But of course, American historians have been arguing about this for 70 years and still haven't come to a conclusion. There are motives for both cases, but I think it was probably Cermak that Zangara was aiming for. But it's also true that after the attack, Cermak was quoted as saying to Roosevelt, "I'm glad it was me and not you." And this is taken as proof that Cermak himself thought this was an attack on Roosevelt.
Throughout his life, Cermak maintained contact with his motherland.
Cermak left Czech soil when he was only 1 year old, but he spoke fluent Czech and he kept in touch with the Czech community, not only in the United States, but here as well. He visited what was then Czechoslovakia in 1932. He had been in contact with Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk during the First World War, when he was already a significant politician. And when he came here in 1932, it was in part to spend his holidays with President Masaryk in Topolčanka.
In fact, we've got Czech radio archive footage of Anton Cermak during his Czechoslovak visit. Here he is greeting his listeners and countrymen with the slightest of American accents.
Vážení posluchači a drazí rodáci, jsem nesmírně rád, že mohu k vám promluviti po rádio hned pod...
In his speech, Cermak encourages Czechs to venture to Chicago to witness the World's Fair being held there the following year. The legacy of both the fair and indeed Cermak himself live on in Chicago nearly a century of progress later. Next time you take the Red Metro line to what's now Cermak Chinatown, spare a thought for the miner's son from Kladno who really made it good.
You've been listening to Czech History with Rosie Johnston, that episode first broadcast in 2008, in June to be specific. So another chance to hear that there. And that brings us to our final feature for this day, which is our continuing, long-running and in reruns language program, The ABC of Czech, with Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax.
In today's lesson, we'll be talking about probably the least popular members of the animal kingdom. Yes, the creepy crawlies. The insect most frequently represented in Czech idioms is probably the fly.
Moucha.
To solve two problems at once can be expressed by the phrase
Zabít dvě mouchy jednou ranou.
Literally, to kill two flies with one blow. Or, to use the English idiom, to kill two birds with one stone. A passive and apathetic person can be described by the phrase
Mouchy sněste si mě.
Or flies eat me, meaning do whatever you want to me. I don't care if the flies eat me alive. Flies also symbolize multitude. If Czechs say
Je tam lidí jako much.
There are as many people as flies, they mean there is a large crowd of people. The fly
Moucha
also stands for a blemish, a fault, usually in something new, for example, a pilot product or a new technology. If there are flaws to be fixed, we can say
Musíme vychytat mouchy.
We have yet to catch the flies. We need to mend the flaws. There are fussy people who constantly find flaws with everything, and about them, Czechs say
Na všem vidí mouchy.
They see flies everywhere. That is, they find flaws with everything. The word beetle
Brouk
does not only mean the popular model of Volkswagen, but also annoying worry. To plant a beetle in someone's head
Nasadit brouka do hlavy
means to make someone worry about something and think of it all the time, as if a beetle was crawling inside their head. About someone who does not seem completely sane or who seems to have obsessive thoughts, we might say that he or she has a cockroach on his or her brain.
Má švába na mozku.
Someone who is not very friendly and outgoing and has his strange little ways can be described as
divný pavouk,
a strange spider, a strange customer. If someone behaves in a promiscuous way or has changeable interests, we can say that the person is
přelétavý jako motýlek,
flighty as a butterfly, which flits from one flower to another. And finally, parents can say about their brood storming the fridge several times a day that they are like locust,
jako kobylky.
They arrive in a swarm, devour everything and leave again. And it's time for us to leave too. Until next time,
naschledanou.
Here in the studio, bugs. Can you believe it? And that brings us just about to the end of today's show. We want to thank you so much for joining us this day. I'm Jan Wellinger, and for all of us here at Radio Prague, take care.